If that doesn't get you ready for church, nothing will. Welcome to Eastlake. I'm Robin. We call this a church for everyone, and we just proved it with that. But we all go through things in our life, and they're seismic, and we don't feel prepared. Maybe we don't feel like we know how to handle them. We go about it incorrectly. In this series, we've been talking about some stories that are in the Bible where Jesus did something seismic. And how does that relate to the things that's going on in my life that I call seismic? And by the way, what I think is huge for me may not be for you. And what you think is huge in your life may not be for me, and that's not the point. God cares about whatever I'm going through. During this series, some of the stuff we've talked about being kind of extraordinary, kind of makes you step back and scratch your head. Really? Did that really? Did I? You know, I'm sure the people that saw it happen were thinking, is what I'm seeing actually happening? And that's stuff that goes on today. I brought this clip for you. A couple of years back in the NBA, they had the slam dunk contest at the All-Star game. And I just wanted you to watch some things and see what some of the reactions are. Check this video out. Here's some of the guys now. Look at some of the stuff they're doing. And when you see it, it does kind of make you scratch your head when you see it in slow motion. You're like, are you kidding me? None of them could do it until I started coaching them, by the way. I coach these guys right to here. And but I mean, when you see it, it's just like crazy. Now what I like when you watch this, you know, you see them go up and they're doing these amazing things. I like some of the reaction of the other players. I mean, just like, did that actually happen? I mean, are you kidding me? Could that have even, like, did I really see that occur? And some of the stories that we have talked about the last couple weeks, I think when people saw Jesus do certain things, they probably were just like that. They're like, are you kidding me? Did that actually happen? We started the first week with the grave robber way back on Easter, and the seismic event was the resurrection. All the things in the Bible, everything about Jesus, Christianity, sort of it comes to this one seismic event. Did Jesus rise from the dead or not? We said the big idea that week, if he rose from the dead, is we could have a relationship instead of a religion. Here's what the Bible said. I'll read it to you. We said it the first week. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. So if Jesus died and stayed dead, then all he has to offer you is a religion. That's it. Do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. That's it. That's all you get. But if he's alive, if the seismic event occurred, that means he can be with me in everything I go through. And here's what we said that day. If he's alive, I have someone that will always love me. I have someone that will always forgive me. And I have someone that will always help me. If he's alive, seismic event. Number two, in reviewing it, the foot washer. And the foot washer was the story of Jesus with all of his disciples. When he washed their feet, the topic was leadership. And what we said that week is that Jesus isn't a model. He's not giving us just guidelines to follow. He's not saying this is how you lead. He's saying follow me as I lead you. Here was the part of the Bible we read this week. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. So I used to always tell my sons as they were growing up, they're both married now, and like all guys, they're looking for their wives, and they're thinking to themselves, I want to find the wife that really pleases me. And I said, oh, son, you have it all wrong. You're trying to find the wife that you can be a great leader for. You're trying to find the woman that you feel like you can serve the rest of your life. And Jesus demonstrated that in this one. He said, "I, if all people could have come and said, everybody serves me, but I came to serve. And I'm not giving you guidelines, rules, regulations. I'm alive, and I'm saying, I'll help you lead. If you're a coach, manager at work, you're a husband, a parent, you have people you oversee, you want to do something in life where you're going to be in charge of other people, we all have influence. Remember this point. It was a seismic event. He's my leader, and he shows me how to lead. See, I'm not trying to act like Jesus. I'm trying to live with Jesus. Seismic event. Now, week three in review, was the wave walker. This is awesome. So we had the story last week. Jesus comes walking out on the water. Those slam dunks make you scratch your head. You see someone walking towards you on the water, you know, you step back and you're like, really? Is this what I'm seeing happening? Peter saw it. He was a man in the story. And he said, I want to do that to you. Jesus said, come ahead. He starts walking on the water. Can you imagine? That would blow your mind. Has God ever helped you do anything? And as you were doing it, you're like, can this really be happening? Ever said a prayer and it actually occurred? And you're like, no way. I just kind of said that. I didn't think anything would actually happen. Jesus is, you know, Peter, come out and be on the water with me. And he does. And then he gets scared. Here was the point of the weekend. When I live in fear, I'm going to drown. When I live in faith, I can do miracles like walking on water. Crazy miracle. Now, I know all those things can seem like, really? Aren't those nice little fairy tales like X-Men and comic book movies? And aren't they the Raiders of the Lost Ark type stuff or Guardians of the Galaxy? None of that's, come on, that didn't really happen. Do you know if you can believe the very first sentence in the Bible, it all makes sense? Let me read it to you. This is the very first sentence in the Bible. Genesis 1, in the beginning, and this is in your notes, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. If you could believe that, everything else can make sense. There's no miracle greater than that. If God could do this. Now, all of our churches today, all the East Lake Network, we're all doing the exact same sermons today, and we're trying to bring this great, marvelous, wonderful God down into our world and the stuff we go through. Starting way big, bringing it into our world. I want you to hear Mike Meeks. He's the founder of all the East Lake churches. They're preaching the same talks that we're doing today. He's got about a four-minute section of his sermon that I saw. I want you guys to see it. So settle in, relax, and check this out.
Now, the best sermon I've ever heard on that section of scripture was by a guy named Louis Giglio. And he did this talk that he titled, How Great is Our God? And he used nature, creation, to show God's marvelous power, his greatness. And I want to take just a couple of things that he did and try to paint this picture at least a little bit for just a moment. The massive claim of the Bible that out of darkness, out of this void, out of this nothingness, he begins by creating light. Light travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. That's called the speed of light. Now, in a year, light can travel a distance of 5.88 trillion miles. That is how far it can travel in a light year. Okay, you got those? 186,000 miles per second, 5.88 trillion miles, okay. The sun is 93 million miles from us. And light, traveling 186,000 miles per second, you probably already calculated how long it takes to get to us. You're right, 8 minutes. You're right. It takes another 4 or 5 hours to get to Pluto, and it takes another 4 years to get to the next star. 4 years. That's like 20 trillion miles. A lot of 8/8s. Once they put decimals in there, I kind of fritz out. Once they added the alphabet, I was done. Okay. Anyway. In God's neighborhood, you really can't just use rulers and yardsticks and tape measures. It just doesn't get you very far with what he has done. It's difficult to capture the scope of what's mentioned in the very first sentence of the Bible. Psalms 33:6 adds to it. The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. Now, just let me think, how could I illustrate this? If the earth were the size of a golf ball, okay, there's the earth. It would be going around the sun, which would be 15 feet in diameter. Okay, that's the comparison. See that? There's the difference between those two. The sun, though, is a runt in the universe compared to many other stars. One of the stars that's close to us is Beetlejuice. No, not that one. That's a different one. It's this one. You see that little dot at the end? That's our sun. There's a bunch of other stars, other suns in there. The last one there is Beetlejuice. That's the difference in that one. Now, Beetlejuice is 427 light years from us. Beetlejuice isn't twice the size of the sun. It's twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. It's huge. But Beetlejuice is a wimp compared to Canis Majoris. There's our sun, and we couldn't even fit it all on the screen. And still have a dot you could see of our sun. It's the largest star that astronomers have found so far. Now, how do you illustrate that with the golf ball? If the Earth were the size of a golf ball and you put it up next to this Canis Majoris, you'd be setting it right next to Mount Everest to get a comparison. And he spoke, and all this came into existence. So let me read that first sentence in the Bible again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. That is not where the Bible ends. That's where it starts. That's where it begins. The Bible claims that this awesome star-breathing God came to earth in the form of a baby. Huh. If we believe him capable of creating the universe, then the virgin birth is not that hard to buy. It's not an intellectual leap to say that Jesus healed blind people and raised the dead. If he is the creator of the universe, how great is our God?
Yeah, and that's awesome, and it is wonderful to say how great is our God, but what most of us want to know is how great is he in my life? If he can create the universe, okay, but what can he do in my universe, my everyday life? And in this series, we want this last week to be personal and practical, to talk about a seismic event that Jesus did that mattered to some people's in everyday life. Because you have got crazy kids, you got a job, I've got a job, we've got bosses to deal with, we've got stuff going on in our bodies, we've got girlfriends and wives and husbands, we've got things happening in our lives. How does Jesus help us get the dishes done? That's where we're going today, okay? So grab your notes, we're going to look at a seismic event today that made a difference in that way. The big idea, Jesus can do a lot with a little. So he can do a lot with a little. I want to read you a story today. It's going to be out of the Bible, and you can just kind of follow along. It's going to take a minute, but it's going to put the backdrop to the whole thing. Here we go. After this, it's in your notes, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd followed him wherever he went because they saw the miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill, sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Even if I worked for months, I'm not having enough money to put my backyard in. Even if I worked for months, I'm not having money to pay off all my school bills. If I worked for months, I'm not going to have enough money saved to get the house I want. What's yours? Have you ever looked forward into your life and said, it doesn't matter how hard, it's not an issue of my work ethic. I'm willing to work. That's where they're at. If I worked for months. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." That was the bread that the poor people make. It's 4 inches in diameter, about the size of a pancake. That's how much bread they have. "But what good is that with this huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000 people. So maybe 15,000 people with women and children. Then Jesus took loaves, gave them to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish. They all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now, when Clarice and I first got married, just after a few months, I became a pastor on our staff there. My job was to oversee the children. Really rapid growing church. It was the church, actually, that was the first church that started all the East Lakes way, way back in the day in Seattle. First church for everyone. Anybody can come. And I was in charge of the children. There were 350 kids, maybe 100 volunteers. The church was just exploding, which churches always do when they're for everyone, where people can come and process and meet Jesus. And these kids were like going crazy. We had all these volunteers. My job was to oversee this. And so I invited 15 of the volunteers over for lunch one afternoon. I'm going to get to know them, invite them over to my house. The problem was, newly married, about 3 months, forgot to tell my wife I invited 15 people over to the house for lunch that Sunday. Rookie husband mistake. Here's how Clarice found out. Somebody at church came up to her and said, "So great to go over and be at your house today." One of those chatty little girls. "We're going to go to your house today, and we're going to talk and have lunch. It's going to be so fun." And my wife was seeing red. She came downstairs and got me. She goes, someone just came and told me they're cutting. You know how girls do that. Someone just came and told me that type of thing. Coming to my house today with 15 people, and I don't know about it, and I'm not prepared, and I haven't bought anything. Like, oh, it's just the worst. You know, Clarice felt unprepared, overwhelmed, and she was angry at moi. Are you angry at anybody because you feel like they dumped something on you? It's not your fault. You feel unprepared and overwhelmed. You didn't ask for it. But all of a sudden, now you're involved. That's kind of where the disciples are right now. Where you find out some news, you're like, "Whoa, hold up. Wait, where is this coming from?" Oh, now I get to deal with that. That's where they're at. Right here. The disciples. And you know, it's interesting. If you fast forward ahead, like this was a movie, and you fast forward it to the very end, Jesus calls them all over. The miracle has been done. He gives them all a basket. He says, "Now what I want you to do, we don't want to waste anything." Jesus was a good environmentalist. "Go out and get all the food and bring it in." He gives everybody a basket. And here's what he's actually doing. He's inviting them to process. Do you know that Jesus will allow you to process? He's not like, "Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Study, get, come on, come on, come on." Do you know he sets up an opportunity for everybody to process? Where are you at in your process of faith? This is a great church to process in. He allows them to process. He'll set up opportunities for you to process. Gives them all a basket. I wonder what they're thinking as they're walking around. You know, "I'm glad I wasn't the one that told Jesus what he could do and what he couldn't do." You know, they're just like, you know, 4 loaves of bread, and they're picking up all these things, and they're wondering about it, and they're processing this miracle. That's what I wanted to do today with 2 questions. First one, write in your notes, what will Jesus do with what you give to him? Processing, processing, processing. The bread of the poor was the barley loaf. It's like a little pancake, 4 or 5 inches. So when the disciples see that, it's not weird for them to say, "Yeah, really?" I mean, they look at 15, 20,000 people maybe. I mean, they look at what they have, and they look at what they need, and they say this, "Why should I even try?" Anybody there? Have you ever had such a bad sin in your life that you're like, "Why should I even try to be forgiven of this?" Been in such a bad fight with a family member, and you're like, "Why should I even try to ever get this reconciled?" There's so many people in front of you to be promoted. You're like, "Why should I even think I'm ever going to be a manager?" I remember way back when we first got married, we were sort of younger than some of our friends. Everybody was getting a house but us. And so I thought, "Well, I didn't know anything about it. I'm going to get a house too." I called up one of the bankers, and they told me what I needed for a down payment. I said, "I'm content to rent." Have you ever been there, though? You want something to happen in your life, and you look at it, and you really want it, you're going, "Shh, why should I even try? It's never going to happen." That's where they're at. They see the bread, and they look at it, and they're like, "No chance, man. This is never ever going to happen." And it isn't like a baker came up. It isn't like the baker in the community that owns like 10 or 20 bake shops pulls up in his truck and says, "Listen, I only brought 4 with me, but I'm networking, connected. I know all the bakers. There's a lot more where this is coming from." There's no hope on the horizon. A kid shows up with a sack lunch. I've got four little pieces of bread. You know, how far will that go? Boy, God can do a lot with insignificant things in our life. I brought something I wanted to read to you. These are some children. Some children that, listen to this. 6-year-old boy named Blaze went door to door in his hometown in Colorado and collected and distributed 264 blankets this last winter. The homeless kid. 9-year-old boy named Christopher in New Jersey collected and distributed 1,800 coats for children who couldn't afford them this last year. 1,800. 11-year-old boy named Alex from Calgary watched a news story last winter about a homeless man who died because of hypothermia in the cold. So he raised $40,000 this year to distribute hats, gloves, blankets to the homeless. Last year, a 12-year-old boy in California named Stephen handed out cookies and blankets to street people each month from his red wagon. This year, he raised $90,000 from the sale of a book that he wrote, and he used every penny to build 2 schools in Kenya for children who've been orphaned by AIDS. Here's the little kid now, walks up with his barley loaves, and I'm sure they sized up the little kid and said, come on, bring a power broker. Do you feel like you don't have enough resources in your life? Move out here and you don't have any family here and you're like, guys, I'm all by myself, or you're at your job and there's things that need to occur and you're like, I don't have the education. What is it? Listen to this last one. 10-year-old Tyler learned that children around the world are being sold by their parents into slavery so the parents can feed their other children. Could anything be more agonizing? He learned that he could rescue one child just like himself for a mere $240. Tyler sold everything he had. He was able to rescue 2 children. He went on to start an organization called Kids Helping Kids. In the past 17 months, Tyler has raised more than $50,000 rescuing children from all over the world. Kids, that's where Jesus set the bar. He starts out, and so just question, you know, if you were to give God a little, what would happen? I want to do an experiment today, I want everybody to do it, okay? So just bear with me. So would everybody just smile at me right now? Just put a smile on your face. Wow, you guys are pretty good. Now smile at the person next to you. Just turn over and smile. Come on, give them a smile. Don't be grumpy, sourpuss. Give them a smile. It's easy to smile. When I first became Christian, I was 20 years old, and I was so intimidated to go to church. So intimidated to go to church. And it was the church that started this church way, way back in the day. And I was so intimidated. I didn't know how to dress. I heard the music, and it didn't sound like the music I listened to. And I was so certain that I'd already broken all of the rules that they were going to tell me I was supposed to keep, so I was already disqualified before I got there. I wanted to have something with God, and I figured I had to go to church, but I was just a mess. And when I went to church on the Sunday, there was a man at the door. His name was Jim Meisner, and he smiled at me. He was part of the greeting team. His job was to smile. Maybe when you came today, we're all hoping 5 smiles before you get in the room. And I remember coming there, and all Jim did was smile and said, hey, glad to see you today. He handed me a program. And the next Sunday, I get there, and there's Jim again, standing at the door, smiling again. Hey, and you know, he didn't do, 2 times in a row, huh? Ooh, doing pretty good. No, he just smiled. He just smiled. And the third Sunday, he just smiled. And handed me a program and said, glad you're here. It was so little, but do you know what? By the time I got that smile, and a couple of others, and by the way, do you know we have a greeting team at Eastlake? If you ever want to be on that, just fill in your connection card. But here's the truth about Eastlake. We're all greeters here. It's all of our job to smile at people. If you need to be commissioned, you're commissioned. You're all greeters. It's my best religious cross for you. You're all greeters. You can all smile at people. You can all come in here and welcome somebody, say, hey, good to see you, and smile at them. When I got into that service, my walls were down a little bit. It felt a little warmer. It took time. It'll take time if you're new here to feel comfortable and figure it out. But just a smile, that's all it was, just a smile. Now, that's the question I want you to promise. What will Jesus do with what you give to him? Question number 2, what will you do with what Jesus gives to you? Okay, so we all have a husband, we all have a wife, we all have crazy kids, we have a job, we have a boss, and those are gifts that God has given you. What are you doing with them? I've got a buddy at work that got out of one divorce, got with another girl. I like this dude a lot. I love him. And he got with the next girl, and all of a sudden, she's not what he wants either. And I'm like, dude, there's a common denominator here, and it's you. You know, and he's like, no, you don't understand. She spends too much money. She does this, that, and the other thing. I'm leaving her. I'm going to get someone else. And I'm like, come on, man. And I told him this. I said, listen, you're exactly what she needs. And here was the thing that he never could get. And I said, you know what, man? She's exactly what you need. To become the kind of man that you want to become, this is the perfect woman to call you into that. Oh, no. I had to leave her and go off and get somebody else. And I'm watching the same story right now happen before my very eyes again. You know why? He's the same dude. Say, what has God given you? Who's your craziest kid? Who's your worst boss? Who's the hardest person to work with? Who's your family member just like, oh, my God, someone put him in an institution now. Who is it? That's God's gift to you. So you can change and go to him and get grace. That's your, so, because when you look at them, you're like, no, wait, why even try? Why even bother? Oh, because the God of the universe cares about your universe, your everyday life. Yes, he does. Now, I got a gift for you today. If you look in your program, there's like a little postcard. Grab that. This is a, we all bought this together, and it's all, because that's how it works here. Now, this is a postcard. Look at it. There's a stamp on it for you. And everybody, I hope, has one. Because here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hope you could do this week. This is your barley loaf this week. This is a small little thing. Who knows what God could do with a little thing? This is your practical smile. To have somebody in your life that you write an encouraging note on. How do you know what will occur? Do you know I got a chance to tell Jim Meisner on Facebook not too long ago? He's in almost 90 now. I found him on Facebook and told him what it meant to get those smiles, what it meant in my life way back then. Do you think in a million years he thought to himself, well, if I smile at that guy, he's going to stop taking drugs. He's going to clean his life up. He's going to start reading the Bible. He's going to go to Bible college and get a degree. He's going to be a pastor someday, all because I smile. Probably not. But I told him on Facebook, if it hadn't been for you. Now, what do you know what this might cause, what you might write to somebody? Stamps on it. This is way better than a little emoji on Facebook or a little email thing or a little cheesy text. This is handwritten from your heart to somebody this week. It's your opportunity to do something small and see what God could do. He could do a ton with a little. He doesn't need a lot. Now here's the bottom line, and write this in your notes. Jesus is the universe maker and the bread maker. Now let me read you a quote. This is from J. Vernon McGee. This isn't your notes, but I want to read you something. This is a quote from J. Vernon McGee. This is God's universe. He does things his way. You may have a better way of doing things, but you don't have a universe. This is his universe. And he's inviting you to be a part of it. He's the universe maker, but he's the bread maker. What do you got going on in your life? It's not enough. How is it going to happen? Why should I even try? The universe maker is the bread maker. We give you an opportunity to process that, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to throw some music on. You have your connection card. Maybe think about your postcard, who you're going to send it to this week. We'll throw some music on. Just a moment. I'll come back and say a prayer for us. All right, let's stand together. If you'd be kind enough, if you want to, you could bow your head for just a moment and continue the processing with those two questions. They're the questions to process the story with. And question number one, what will Jesus do with what you give to him? Question number two, what will you do with what Jesus gives to you? And let me say a prayer. Lord, we understand that we're not trying to act like you. We understand that the goal isn't to be like you. Our opportunity is to live with you, to have you in our life. Our opportunity is to share life, to be a part of your life and have you be a part of our life. That's what this whole series has been about, is the seismic, major, extravagant, awesome events that God does. Do not compare to the way he enters in to the practical, everyday life that we live. You're with us. You care about us. The God of the universe is the one that's willing to step into my universe. Lord, as we leave this Sunday, there's lots of opportunities this week to forget that and get distracted and move into other ways, and all of a sudden you just become a name or an idea, and you're... Don't let it happen this week, Lord. Let us really feel like we're living with you every day, every minute, throughout the night. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, next week is Mother's Day. If you haven't seen it at East Lake, you don't want to miss it. It's awesome. God bless. Have a good week.